You will turn in your Bibles now to John chapter number 1, the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to remind you that for the past number of services, I've been preaching just a little series of messages that I've simply entitled A Testimony Service from the Scriptures. And we've been looking at the various people in the Word of God, particularly the apostles that our Lord called, and the ones that whose testimonies are recorded in the Word of God. And there, of course, were 12 that were called, and there are 7 whose testimonies are recorded for us in the Scriptures that we've been looking at. And we're also going to have included in that this past Lord's Day the testimony of an apostle as one born out of due time. He called himself. We're talking about Saul, or the one who became Paul. Let me just remind you that we have looked at the testimony of Andrew and also of his brother Simon here in John chapter number 1 a couple of weeks ago. And that we also looked at the testimony of Philip in John the first chapter and looked at what happened whenever he met the Lord and the Lord saved him. And then we examined the testimony of James and John in Matthew chapter number 4, as well as the testimony of Matthew in Matthew chapter number 9. And again, this past Sunday, as I mentioned, we looked at the testimony of Saul in Acts chapter number 9 when he met the Lord and came to Christ. So I want you to notice with me this evening here in John chapter number 1, the testimony of a man named Nathanael. A testimony of the man named Nathanael. Now, Nathanael's his name is found here in the book of John. When you read the other gospel writers, when you read in Matthew and Mark and Luke, you'll find that there is an apostle whose name is Bartholomew. Many Bible scholars believe that Nathanael and Bartholomew are the very same person. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I do know that when you read the listing of the apostles in the other gospels, that Bartholomew follows right after Philip each time, looking as though there may be a connection between Philip and Bartholomew, even as there is a connection here in John's gospel between Philip and Nathanael, because Philip is the one who found him and introduced him to Christ. So it's very possible, anyway, that Bartholomew and Nathanael may well be the very same person. Nevertheless, we find that Nathanael is revealed to us here in John chapter number 1. His testimony about when it was that he came to know the Lord. I believe that folks ought to revisit and think about that day that they came to know Christ. I think it's like taking a vacation. You know, sometimes taking a vacation means getting away from the stress that we're under to just sort of renew ourselves and rest ourselves. And just remembering where the Lord saved you does the same thing spiritually. And that is, if you're just a little bit spiritually dry or spiritually strained, sometimes just remembering that day that you met the Lord sort of revives you spiritually and renews you just a little bit, just to remember what the Lord did in your life. And so I think it's important for us to do that in our personal life. And I think it's important for us to consider also the testimony of others. That's the reason why I like hearing testimonies. When we come together on Wednesday night, I oftentimes give you an opportunity just to share a word of testimony. I don't do that to take up time because I've got plenty of preaching material. The reason why that I do that is in order for you to be able to share your heart or to tell us about what God is doing in your life or what He did in your life whenever He saved you. And it encourages people to hear what God's doing in your life. It encourages the saints to hear about the testimony of those who got saved and what God has done in their life, even if it's been years ago. I've met a few people that don't like it when people share their testimonies, and to me that's a telltale sign that something is wrong in their heart. When somebody's sharing the testimony about what God has done in their life or about when they got saved, it ought to bless you if you've got anything in you that's able to be blessed. Amen. And it ought to encourage you if you're a child of God. It ought to bear witness with your spirit if He is living on the inside of you when you hear the testimonies of those who have met the Lord. I believe it's also important to hear the testimonies of individuals, especially from the Scriptures, so that we can examine ourselves and so folks can look at themselves and ask themselves, have I ever really met the Lord? Have I ever really been born again? I believe that's a good question to ask, but the reason why is because I meet a lot of people who believe that everything's okay between them and God, and when they get to talking about why they believe that's true, when they get to sharing their testimony, you find out that there's not anything there, there's not anything biblical about what they base their view of God on. And so I think it's important for us to understand what it means to meet the Lord, what the experience is like. I believe it's important for all of God's people, especially church leaders like most of us are, to realize what the experience of meeting Christ is like. What happens when somebody meets the Lord? And I know that the circumstances are going to be different. And we see that in the Bible. The circumstances of our testimonies may be different, but the same thing happens every time when somebody meets the Lord and receives Christ into their life. And so it's important for us to look at the experiences of individuals, just as we have been doing, and as we're going to continue to do this evening, by noticing the testimony of this man named Nathanael. Now, if Nathanael could be with us tonight, and I wish that he was, it would be much more interesting for you to be able to hear his testimony from him rather than just from me. But if he were here tonight, I believe that he would start off by telling us about the friend that he encountered. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, that is to Philip, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Nathanael had a friend. Now we assume the relationship between Philip and Nathanael may have been that of a friend. Maybe they were relatives as well. We don't know for sure. But nevertheless, we're going to consider him to be a good friend. And the reason why is because it would be a good friend that would tell somebody else about Jesus. And indeed, Nathanael had this friend who came looking for him and who found him, and his name was Philip. Remember, let me remind you about this guy named Philip. We studied about him a couple of Wednesday nights ago in verses 43 and 44, where the Bible tells us that the day after Jesus met Andrew and Simon, and they got saved, the day after that he went into Galilee, and it's there that he found, particularly looked for, searched out, and found this man named Philip. And the Bible says the Lord spoke to him and he said, follow me. And then we know that the Bible says that Philip was from Bethsaida. That was the same city where Andrew and Peter or Simon were from, that is, from their hometown. Philip got saved. And we find that the Bible teaches us that Philip is now the same man who met the Lord and began to follow Jesus, is now seeking out his friend, Nathanael, so that he can tell him about Jesus. You know, that's pretty typical, is it not? As we've been looking at some of these testimonies from the Scriptures, we have found it's very typical of those who meet the Lord to want to tell somebody else about Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's so typical that it almost becomes one of the sure signs that somebody has really met the Lord. And that is that when they really meet Christ and encounter Him and receive Him as the Lord of their life, they want to tell other people about Jesus. This is just a normal response for those who really get saved. That is, they want to tell other people what has happened in their life. And that's exactly what Philip is doing. And Philip has intentionally looked for this friend named Nathanael so that he could purposely tell him about Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. And that is when Nathanael and Philip encountered each other, it wasn't just a chance encounter. It wasn't just one of those things that just sort of happened. It wasn't that he just happened to run into him. The way that it's worded here indicates that Philip intentionally went out and found Nathanael, his friend, so they could tell him about Jesus. We might refer to this as intentional evangelism. In other words, when you and I think about sharing the gospel with people, one of the things that we ought to remember is this. It's important to be ready all the time. And that is, as we heard testified a little bit earlier, you may be at the store or out to eat or just going through your daily life, and all around you may be opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. So we ought to be ready all the time. But I believe that just as you and I ought to be ready all the time wherever we're at, there also should be intentional evangelism in our life. And that is that we ought to intentionally seek people out for the purpose of telling them about Jesus. And that is, we ought to go to people's homes for the purpose of talking to them about their relationship with Christ. We ought to meet with people for the purpose of talking with them about the Lord. There ought to be some intentional evangelism going on in our life. You say, Pastor, I haven't been saved very long. I don't know, how do you expect me to be involved in this kind of intentional evangelism? Well, as far as I know, the Phillips only been saved just a little while. I mean, he just got saved and all of a sudden here he is going to find Nathaniel to tell him about Jesus. You know what I found out in my life, what I've noticed and observed? It's not a matter of how long you've been saved. As a matter of fact, I've observed the longer people are saved, the less of a witness they are. And that is that those who just come to know the Lord seem like they're more involved in evangelism and telling people about Jesus than they are after they've been saved for a while. We have a word that we use for that. We call it backsliding, don't we? And that is no longer on fire for God, no longer concerned about souls, and we just get so backslid that we look like the world and act like the world. Our biggest concern is ourselves and our pocketbook rather than souls. Well, this guy named Philip hadn't been saved long enough to get backslid, I guess, and apparently he's concerned about his friend and he wants to tell him about Jesus. And so we find that he encounters Nathanael. Now, this encounter between Philip and Nathanael, as you read about it in the verses that we just read, there are three things that stand out. The first thing that stands out is what I have called on your outline, the revelation. The revelation. When Philip went and found Nathanael, the Bible says here that he revealed to him that Jesus, that is, the Jesus from Nazareth. I want to remind you that Jesus would have been a name that would have been used by other people in that time period as well. But there's a particular Jesus he has in mind, the Jesus from Nazareth. And just in case there's more than one Jesus in Nazareth, it's Jesus from Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now I know that at this time of year we realize that Joseph was not really the biological father of our Lord. We know, don't we, that Jesus was supernaturally conceived in the womb of Mary, and he was born, he was birthed into this world by her as a virgin. And so Joseph was not his biological father, but he was his legal father. He was his legal father. That is, as far as the culture in that day was concerned, he was his legal father. Kind of like somebody is adopted today and they become the legal child of somebody who they are not biologically, do not biologically belong to. Even so, if you had to legally identify somebody in this day, which we do that today, if you had to legally identify somebody in this day, you would identify them by the place where they lived and by their legal father. And so if you wanted to identify Jesus, you would identify him as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, so that you know exactly which Jesus that you were talking about. Well, we find that when Philip found Nathanael, he revealed that this Jesus, Jesus from Nazareth, the son of Joseph, that he is the fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies that are found in the law, that is in the writings of Moses and the prophets, that is all of the Old Testament. The law and the prophets is sort of a phrase that often is used to describe the entirety of the Old Testament. All that the Old Testament revealed about the Christ, the Messiah who would come, the promises, the prophecies that are given are fulfilled in Christ. That's what he says in verse 45, we found him. That is the one of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, Philip here is not specific about which prophecies that he's referring to. If he is talking about Moses and the writings of Moses, he may have been referring to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18. Listen to these words. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Bible says in verse number 15, it says, so the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. But notice now, I will raise them up a prophet from among them, from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. I want you to know that that prophet that Moses prophesied about is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He is that prophet and who came bearing and speaking the words of God. You see, when they were at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, when they received the law and God was speaking, it was too much for them to bear. And God, and they pleaded with Moses to only speak to them and not God speak to them. But the Bible says God promised to raise up a prophet that would speak to them that they would be able to hear. He is the God-man. We're talking, of course, about the promised prophet, our Lord. It may be that this is one of those passages that Philip had in mind when he said that, you know, all those prophecies, all of those passages that Moses spoke about in the law and all of the prophecies that the prophets gave us in the Old Testament, they are all fulfilled. The one that they spoke of is here. He's come, and it's Jesus of Nazareth. Listen to me now. Nathanael apparently was a student of the Old Testament scriptures. When you think of Nathanael, you should probably think of somebody who eagerly studied the Old Testament. He was not only eagerly studying, but he was also apparently able to understand the nature of the prophecies revealed in the Old Testament. We have every reason to believe that Nathanael was one of those who was anticipating that the prophet that Moses wrote about would one day come and fulfill all that was prophesied about him throughout the Old Testament. And Philip knows that Jesus is that Messiah, that he is the one that was anticipated and written about in the Old Testament, the very one that Nathanael was looking for and knew that would come someday. And Philip said, Nathanael, you're not going to believe it, but we have found him. When I think about Philip and Nathanael, here's what I think about. I think about Bible study partners. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but I believe it's possible that these guys studied the Word together, studied the prophecies of the Old Testament, studied the writings of Moses, and they knew that one day there was one coming who would fulfill all of those prophecies. And he goes to his friend Nathanael and says, you're not going to believe it, buddy. We have found him, the one that the prophets talked about and Moses wrote about. We see this here in the Gospel of John, for example, in chapter number 5 and verse number 39. Listen to what it was that our Lord said. Listen to what Jesus said. John chapter number 5 and verse number 39. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Go ahead. And of course, you know what he's talking about when he talks about the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament. Search the Old Testament, for in them you think you have eternal life. And listen, they are they which testify of me. In other words, Jesus is saying the Old Testament reveals me. Jesus is revealed throughout the Old Testament. You'll find it again in John chapter number 19. Here in the Gospel of John, in John 19 and verse number 31. Listen to what it is that the Bible reveals to us. In John 19 and verse number 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. Jesus had just died on the cross. And the Bible tells us that he besought Pilate, that is the Jews besought Pilate, that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. You remember this story? The Bible says in verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. That is, the thieves on each side of him, their legs were broke so that they would die before the Sabbath day so they could get him off the cross before the Sabbath. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a sword pierced his side, and forthwith, that is, out of his side, came out blood and water. And he that saw it, well, maybe John who's writing this, he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. Listen now, for these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that over in Psalm 34 and 20, the Bible says a bone of him shall not be broken? You say, well, who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus. And not only that, but again, another scripture says, and this is from Zechariah 12:10, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And did you know it was also talking about Jesus, whether you're talking about the Psalms or whether you're talking about Zechariah? Did you know that the fact that Jesus' legs were not broken, but his side was pierced, was a fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures? That's what Philip is talking about. When he comes to his friend Nathanael and says, we found him. That is the one that Moses wrote about, the one that the prophets talked about. He's here. That is the Messiah. And everything about the birth of Christ, everything about the life of Christ, everything about the death and resurrection of Christ, everything about him, and including his second coming, all of it brings fulfillment to all that was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Do you know what Philip is revealing to Nathanael? The gospel. The good news that the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament has come. Well, as you notice Nathanael's encounter with his friend Philip, you not only read about the revelation, but the hesitation. Look again back in our text, if you would, in John chapter number 1, verse 46. The Bible says, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" So when Nathanael heard Philip's revelation that the promised Messiah was Jesus of Nazareth, he demonstrated some hesitation. The hesitation is revealed in the words that we just read. Nathanael was from Cana. According to chapter 21 and verse 2 of this chapter, of this book, he was from Cana of Galilee. Now you might recognize the little town Cana. And the reason why is because in the very next chapter, in chapter number 2, there is a miracle that is performed in Cana of Galilee. The mention of Nathanael may be setting the scene for the miracle that is performed there, but that's where he's from. And did you know that Cana in Galilee is not very far from Nazareth? It's just a few miles away from Nazareth. And so Nathanael knew all about the reputation of that city. He knew everything about the little town of Nazareth. And did you know that Nazareth had a terrible reputation in the first century? Apparently, it was a poor, dirty, and rowdy town. Not a town with a good reputation at all. And Nathanael not only may have been aware of the reputation of this town, but also he may have been aware of the prophecy in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, where the Bible says the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem. And so how in the world then would the promised Messiah be from Nazareth if the prophecy in Micah 5, 2 is that he was from Bethlehem? Well, you and I know, don't we? And the reason why we know is because Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recorded for us in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, he recorded for us about how it was that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and ended up being raised in Nazareth. He tells us there about how that the old wicked king Herod was going to try to kill him, and how that that Joseph had a dream, took him down into Egypt until that Herod was dead, and then brought him back up and raised him in Nazareth, where Joseph was from. So we know according from Matthew's gospel, but you see Matthew's gospel wasn't available at this time period, and so probably Nathanael did not understand all of that. But anyway, needless to say, because of the reputation of the city and also because of the prophecy in Micah, Nathanael was hesitant to believe that this Jesus from Nazareth, the son of Joseph, could actually be the promised Messiah. Now this is important. The hesitation here at the beginning of John's gospel is followed by another hesitation at the end of his gospel. So that at the beginning and at the end, like two bookends, you'll see two men who are hesitant to believe. Here we see Nathanael at the beginning. At the end, you'll see a man by the name of Thomas. I'm not going to go back and read it, but I've given you the verses on your outline in chapter number 20 where Thomas was not with the other disciples whenever the Lord showed up in that upper room after his resurrection. Remember, Jesus showed up after he'd been raised and showed himself to the disciples that he was indeed alive. And the Bible says that Thomas wasn't with them on that occasion, and they told him all about Christ showing up. I don't know where Thomas was at. He was probably out buying some bread or peanut butter or something. And finally, when he got back and said, "Jesus showed up, we saw him." And Thomas said, "Listen, until I see those nail print hands and put my hand in his side, until I see him, I will not believe." Remember that? And then all of a sudden, the Lord showed up. Remember, about a week later, the Lord showed up and Thomas was there with them this time. He said, "Thomas, behold my hands. And here's my side. Why don't you just stick your hand here in my gaping side? It's I. Be not afraid." And all of a sudden, Thomas cries out from his heart, "My Lord and my God." One of the great confessions in the Gospel of John. Well, the hesitation that resulted in a confession at the end of John's Gospel, we see the same thing happening at the beginning of John's Gospel. A man named Nathanael, who's hesitant to believe, but when he sees the evidence, he does, and the result is a great confession that we read about here in verse number 49 that we'll look at in just a moment. Here's the point I want you to see. The reason why that this is so important You say, why would the writer, the gospel writer, record these two men who were hesitant to believe? Here's the reason why. John highlights these two men, Nathanael and Thomas, who hesitated to believe, is because he wants us to know that their faith was based on real evidence that was so overwhelming that it erased their hesitation. These are not two men that just believed everything that everybody said. These are two men that believed based on real evidence that Jesus really is the Christ and that he really is alive after his resurrection in the case of Thomas. Here's what the gospel writer John wants us to know. There is really evidence, good evidence, and reason to believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. It is evidence that will erase the hesitation of an unbeliever. If an unbeliever will just consider the evidence, they'll believe. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Jesus shows up at the end of the gospel, Thomas. Behold, look, see. They're seeing the evidence. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me now. Those of you that have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you have good evidence and good reason to believe what you have. There's reason to believe. And that's why the writer, that's why he gives us these two examples at both ends of the book. Men that were hesitant to believe until they saw the overwhelming evidence that Jesus is the Christ. And in Thomas's case, that he was really raised from the dead. You have every reason to believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. And you have good evidence or reason to believe that he is risen from the dead. You see, not only do we see the revelation and the hesitation, but then you see the invitation. We find here that after Nathanael hesitated, Philip just invited him to come and see. Just come and see. That's what Philip said to him at the end of verse number 46. We saw those same words in verse number 39. Where Jesus said to Andrew and an unnamed disciple who were asking about where he dwelt, Jesus said, come and see. Just come and see. Just as Andrew brought Simon to Jesus in verse 42, now Philip is bringing Nathanael to Jesus, inviting him to come to Christ. Would you just come and see? Do you know that the invitation to come to Christ is seen all through the Gospel of John? It's one of those words that John uses that means to believe. When John writes, come to Christ, when he records the words of our Lord about coming to him, he doesn't mean that we literally have to walk to him, but he's talking about believing. It's one of those believing words in the Bible. To come to Christ means to believe on him. Let me show you that real quick in John chapter number 6 before we move along. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 35, here's what Jesus said. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me, do you see it? I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and then he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now those two phrases, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst, are in a parallel form. They are parallel phrases, which means this. They both mean the same thing. To come to him means the same thing as to believe on him. That's what he's saying here. Verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Talking to the Jewish leaders. Notice verse 37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In verse 44, he continues this idea when Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now this is important. You can't come to him unless the Father draws you. And then I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets. That is in Isaiah, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. In other words, here's what he's saying. Those who have heard and those who have been drawn by the Father through the truth that is revealed indeed come to him. So those who are come are those who believe. Now folks, that's what Nathanael is being invited to do. Whenever Philip says, come and see, he's being invited not just to physically come to where Christ is, that is part of it, but indeed he's being invited to see the evidence and believe. Come and see. See the evidence and believe. You don't believe that the Messiah could come out of Nazareth? You don't believe that Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, is Him? I invite you to look at the evidence. See and believe. You see, what's going on in the life of Nathanael? He's being drawn by the Father. Just as Jesus said in John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." That's what's happening in Nathanael's life. He is being drawn by the Father to the Son through the witness of his friend named Philip. See, that's the reason why it's so important for all of us to be intentional about sharing the gospel. That is, about being a witness and telling other people about Christ. The reason why it's so important to be intentional is because that is the means through which the Father operates and draws people to the Son. It is through the sharing of the gospel, the good news about Christ. He works through people who are willing to share the gospel, to draw people to the point of believing, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how He does it. You say, "Pastor, I sure hope my friends get saved. I hope somebody will witness to them." Listen to me now. If somebody doesn't share the gospel with them, they're not going to get saved. Somebody's got to share it. You say, "Well, I hope somebody does." It may be you, Philip. It may be you that God wants to use to communicate the good news. And that's the means through which He operates on the heart and draws people to the Son. Well, we're noticing the friend that Nathanael encountered. So let's move along now. Notice the find that Nathanael experienced. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him, and He said of him, it looks as though that as He's coming, Jesus said this about Him to those around Him: "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said to Him, "Whence knowest thou me?" How do you know that about me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." There's an emphasis in this passage of Scripture, in this bigger section, on finding. On finding. We saw it in verse 41 when the Bible says about Andrew that he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. There's the idea of finding twice in that verse. A man finding his brother, and he says that they have found the Christ. In verse 43, the Bible says the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said, "Follow me." There's the idea of those who are finding Christ, and then there are those that Christ is finding here in this passage of Scripture. There's a whole lot of seeking and finding going on in this passage. Folks, in Nathanael's testimony, we finally see who's doing the finding. We have no doubt now who it is that's doing the finding. Here's what I mean by that. It's not these men who are finding Christ, but it is He who is finding them. See, the Bible says here that Andrew said, "We found Jesus," but really it's Jesus that's been finding them all along. And you know, the same is true about everybody who gets saved. We often use the phrase that we found Christ, and some people call it we found religion, or we found the Lord. Listen to me now. If anybody's ever really been saved, it's because He found them. Do you know the reason why Nathanael came to Christ and found the Messiah? It's because the Lord had already came to Nathanael and found him. Listen, before he ever came to Christ and found the Lord already came to Nathanael and found him. Now this becomes very evident in this passage when you notice the watch of the Messiah. The Bible says in verse number 47 that Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. That is, before he ever got to him. While he was apparently still just a little ways away, that is, he saw him, and the idea is that he noticed him. He took notice of him. No doubt there were probably many other people around. There were probably others that were walking. There were probably others in the crowd there that day. But all of a sudden, our Lord takes special notice of Nathanael. We've seen that emphasis in these testimonies that we've looked at, haven't we? We saw it in verse 42 when the Bible says about whenever Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus, the Bible says in verse 42 that when Jesus beheld him, Jesus saw him. The idea, remember, was that he stared at him. All of a sudden, Jesus set his gaze upon this man named Simon. Did you know that's what happened to James and John? Back in Matthew 4 and verse number 21, the Bible says that James and John were in their boat with Dad Zebedee mending their nets. And the Bible says when Jesus saw them, then he spoke to them. Did you know that's what happened to Matthew? Remember his testimony in Matthew 9 and verse number 9? The Bible says he was sitting there at the receipt of custom, a tax collector, and Jesus saw him and said unto him, "Follow me." Did you know that's what happened to the little short fellow named Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19? Remember him? Maybe the little tax collector? And Jesus was in town and all of a sudden he ran up into that sycamore tree because he wanted to do what? See Jesus. But you know what? Before he got a good look at him, Jesus was already looking at Zacchaeus. The Bible says that Jesus stopped as he was moving through the city and he looked up in that tree and saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, hey, you need to come down, make haste and come down. I need to abide at your house today." Remember that? Oh yes. It's one of the things that characterizes our Lord's dealing with those whom he called is the fact that he beheld them, or he saw them. He noticed them. I'm going to remind you again, as I have in previous messages, that there came that time when the Lord took notice of me long before I started seeking him. He saw me and he chose to deal with me before I ever came to him. That's what's going on here now. Jesus has taken notice of this man. You see, the reason why he noticed him is because he already knew who he was. He already had a plan and a purpose to call him to himself. You see the watch of the Messiah, but then you hear the words of the Messiah and you realize he's the one who found Nathanael all along. Notice with me, as Jesus saw Nathanael, he spoke. He not only saw him, but he spoke, and his words reveal two things about the Lord. First of all, we read words that reveal his omniscience. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and here's what he said of him. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now this statement reveals that Jesus knew everything about Nathanael before he ever met him. He knew everything about him before he ever met him. He knew that Nathanael was an Israelite indeed. And the idea there is that he is a real, true descendant of Jacob. Remember Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel? There's an emphasis in this passage, and you're going to see it again in a few moments. There's an emphasis on Jacob or Israel in this passage. And here's what he's saying, that Nathanael is a Jacobite or an Israelite indeed. He is an Israelite as God intended for Jacob's descendants to be. He's the true Israelite. He's what God intended for Jacob's descendants to be. That is, he is a man who fears God, understands the Scriptures, and is looking for the Christ. You see, that's what God intended all along. That is, that the descendants of Jacob would be a people that feared him alone, a people who would understand his revelation to them and would be anticipating, looking for the Messiah, so that when he showed up on the scene that they would immediately receive him as their long-awaited king. Now that's not what our Lord found, with the exception of a few, and one of those few is this guy named Nathanael. He is a real Israelite. That is what God intended for Jacob's descendants to be. Here's what Jesus said here in John chapter number 8, verses 31 and 32. The Bible says here that as Jesus was preaching and teaching, that there were those Jews who believed on him. Here's what he said to them: "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In other words, those who are really my followers and really my disciples are those who continue in my word. Nathanael was that kind of a guy. He was a man who was in the word, studying the Scriptures, and therefore he knew that the Messiah, the Christ, was coming. And listen to me now, those men like Nathanael, when Jesus showed up and when they saw him, they knew that it was him.
Because they were real Israelites or descendants of Jacob as God intended for them to be. He knew that Nathanael was an Israelite indeed, and he also knew that Nathanael had no guile, in whom is no guile. Listen to me now. He was a descendant of Jacob, but he was not a deceiver like Jacob. You could word it this way, and that is that this man Nathanael was an Israelite indeed, in whom is no Jacob. No guile. Remember Jacob? Even his very name Jacob is the idea of being a deceiver. Somebody who is deceptive. Somebody who indeed is full of guile or deception. Jacob deceived his brother, didn't he? Took his birthright. Deceived his father. Deceived his father-in-law. Remember that? This guy was a deceiver. And he kept on deceiving until he met God in Genesis 32, wrestled with him, and was broken by him. You can read the story. From that moment on, Jacob was Israel. God changed his name because he changed him. And now here we have an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no Jacob. He's not like Jacob, a deceiver. But he's like Israel, the one who fears God, understands the Scriptures, and is anticipating the Messiah. When you see Nathanael, you see a real descendant of Israel in whom there is no Jacob. Here's what that means. He's not a hypocrite. You say, what's that? Why is that so important? Because that's what the Jewish leaders were. Jesus identified them multiple times in Matthew chapter number 6 and in Matthew 23 as being hypocrites, play actors, deceivers, like Jacob was. This guy, Nathanael, is not that. He's not a hypocrite and he's not a liar. Jesus identified the Jewish leaders in John 8:44 as liars. Just like the devil, he said, you're of your father, the devil. He was a liar. The father of lies, and you just like him. But I tell you, Nathanael was not like the Jewish leaders. He was not a hypocrite, and he was not a liar. He was a sincere student of the Old Testament Scriptures who was sincerely seeking the Christ. He reminds me in Luke's Gospel. At the beginning of Luke's Gospel, you'll also meet two people that are the same way. That is, those who understand the Scriptures and who are sincerely seeking the Messiah. And as soon as he shows up, they know it's him. And he's not even a man. He's just a little baby. His name is Simeon. Remember him? And Jesus is just 8 days old. And Joseph and Mary bring him into the temple. And all of a sudden, in Luke 2:25, Simeon holds him up in his arms. And he begins to bless the Lord. The Bible tells us about this man named Simeon. Listen to the words found in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25. Listen to what it says about him. The Bible says, behold, there was in Jerusalem, a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Just as he was waiting, you'll find Nathanael doing the same thing here in John chapter number 1. Second person you'll find in Luke chapter number 2 is a lady, not only an elderly man, but an elderly lady named Anna. The Bible talks about her in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 36. It says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age and lived with a husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of a 84 years. She was 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, that is, as Simeon was worshiping that little baby, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And listen to them. She spoke of him, of Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Did you know that in Jerusalem, while there were the liars and the hypocrites, do you know that there were those in whom there was no guile? There were those who were Israelites indeed. There were those who were looking for redemption, who understood the Scripture and were seeking the Messiah, just like this man named Simeon and just like this woman named Anna. And just as we meet these folks at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, we meet Nathanael at the beginning of John's Gospel. He's that same kind of a man. That's the kind of person that he is. He is an Israelite indeed, as God intended for them to be, in whom is no guile. Now, how did Jesus know that Nathanael was that? An Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Did he do a background check on him? I mean, how did the Lord know that about? How did he know Nathanael was not like the Jewish leaders, a hypocrite and a liar? How did he know that? Well, that's what Nathanael wanted to know. And that's the reason why that he said what he did there in verse number 48. He said, how knowest thou me? How do you know? Whence knowest thou me? How do you know that about me? He didn't deny it, did he? He knew it was true, that what Jesus said was exactly right. And he wanted to know how he knew. I can answer his question, can't you? It's because Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything about everybody. Just a few chapters over in John chapter number 4, there was a lady from Sychar who found that out firsthand. Remember her? She met Jesus by Jacob's well. And as Jesus spoke to her and revealed himself to her, she realized that he was the Messiah and received him as Messiah. And I love what the Bible says about her in verse number 28. After she realized who he was, that he was the Christ, the Bible says in verse number 28, of that chapter, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. And here's what she said to the men of the city, come see a man. There's those words, come and see. Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, that's sort of what happened to Nathanael. Jesus told him everything about him. You say, how do you know? He's omniscient. He knows everything. And like this woman, like the sinful woman, the guileless Jew, both of them realized that Jesus is the Christ because he demonstrated to both of them his omniscience, that he knows everything. And listen to me now, the only one who's omniscient, the only one who knows everything is God. He's the only one who does. And listen to me now, that's what Nathanael's realizing. That's what the Samaritan woman realized as well. These are words that reveal his omniscience. But also, Jesus spoke words that reveal his omnipresence. Look now back in our text, John 1, verse 48. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You know, Jesus was watching Nathanael long before Nathanael ever came to him. And the Bible says in verse number 46, in verse number 47, that he, when he was coming to him, that he saw him. He saw him. We saw that in verse 45, didn't we? In other words, here's what we'll find. Jesus was watching him long before that. Jesus tells Nathanael here that he knew what he knew him because he was watching him long before Philip ever called him to come to him. Long before Nathanael ever got up and started walking to where Jesus was at, Jesus was already watching him. You see, the Lord was already present and dealing with Nathanael before Philip ever came to him and told him about Jesus. Before Philip found Nathanael, he was sitting under a fig tree. Bible scholars tell us that sitting under a fig tree would be a common place for people to study the Scriptures. That it would be safe to assume that the reason why Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree is because he was studying and meditating upon the Word of God. And do you know that Jesus saw him there? As a matter of fact, I believe that Jesus knew exactly what he was studying. Wouldn't it be something if Nathanael was reading the account of Jacob as he was sitting there, and all of a sudden Jesus brings Jacob up in this passage? As a matter of fact, Jacob becomes the central theme as Jesus reveals himself to him. Here he is sitting under the fig tree, probably studying the Bible, and Jesus knew that he was there. Now, how did the Lord Jesus see this man Nathanael under the fig tree when Jesus wasn't there where he was at? Philip had to go find him and bring him to Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. How did he see him under the fig tree? Well, he was there. You say, well, how could he be there under that when he was here? I mean, if he was here, how could he be there? Here's the reason why. He is the omnipresent God. That's why. The word omnipresent means he's everywhere all the time. He not only knows everything, but he sees everything. Jesus does. that the only person who's omnipresent is God. Nobody else is. And so when Jesus is revealing to Nathanael here the fact that he is omnipresent, he's revealing to him that he's God. Folks, listen. What Nathanael is experiencing here is a demonstration of divine omniscience and omnipresence. He is standing in the presence of deity. And all of a sudden, he knows it. All of a sudden, all the hesitation is vanished. And this man believed. You say, how do you know that he believed? Because in verse number 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? And the question is really a statement. When he said, I saw you under the fig tree, he did believe. All of his hesitation vanished, and this man named Nathanael knew that he was standing in the presence of deity, standing in the presence of God, and he believed. You see, listen, the same one who found Philip in verse 43 also found Nathanael. He found him under a fig tree. Long before Philip got there, he found him under a fig tree, and he drew him to himself through the scriptures that he was studying and the witness that he heard. He drew him to himself. And folks, that's why Nathanael came to Christ and believed on him, is because Jesus found him. There's a crippled man in chapter number 5 by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus miraculously healed the crippled man. And then in chapter 5 and verse 14 of this book, the Bible says that after that man had been healed by the Lord, Jesus went and found him. And he said, I want you to go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. In chapter number 9, you'll meet a blind man that Jesus miraculously healed. Remember, he spit on the ground, made that mud and put it on his eyes, told him to go and wash, and he did. And all of a sudden now he can see, and the Jews are upset. The Jewish leaders are mad. They bring his parents in and said, hey, how can this man see? And they said, he's of age, ask him. And they asked the man, he says, I don't know about it. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. And they were so mad they cast him out of the synagogue. And the Bible says in John 9 and verse 35, when Jesus realized he'd been cast out of the synagogue, Jesus went and found him. He revealed himself to him as the Son of God, and the man believed. Jesus is finding people. And here he finds a man named Nathanael. Just like he found a crippled man in chapter 5 and a blind man in chapter number 9, he finds an Israelite indeed under a fig tree here in chapter number 1. And he calls him and draws him to himself to the point of believing. Well, what we're seeing here in the testimony of Nathanael, if he could be here today, he would tell you about the friend that he encountered. His friend Philip, who came and shared with him about Christ. He would tell you about the find that he experienced, and that is that Jesus found him. Long before he came to Christ, Jesus found him. And through the scriptures and the witness of a friend, Jesus brought him to the point of believing. He revealed his omniscience and omnipresence, and this man Nathanael believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads us to consider the faith that Nathanael expressed. Look at verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. When Jesus found Nathanael under that fig tree, and he drew him to himself, revealed to him his omniscience and his omnipresence, and Nathanael believed, his faith then was openly expressed here in verse number 49. The Bible tells us here that he openly expressed or confessed that he believed. As we saw with Andrew, who went and told Simon, and Philip, who came and told Nathanael, James and John, who became fishers of men. Matthew, who had a big party so everybody could hear Jesus talk about repenting. Like Saul, who immediately began to preach the gospel in Damascus after he got saved. Those who really believe are not ashamed, but they want to tell others about Jesus. And that's what Nathanael does in verse 49. He openly expresses the fact that he's a believer. Those who really believe, according to Romans chapter number 10, those who really believe will not be ashamed.
this man wasn't. We read here his confession of the Son of God. That is, he tells us in verse 49, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God." What I mean is that when he talks about Jesus as the Son of God, here's what he means. Are you ready? That Jesus is the one who has come from God and is equal to God. The Jews, Nathanael understood the Son of God as being equal to God. Look at chapter number 5, verse 17, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Chapter 5, verse 17. After the healing of the crippled man, the Jews were all upset about it, because he did it on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus answered them, verse 17, he says, "My Father," notice how he refers to God, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Verse 18 now, notice what it says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but that he had also, said also that God was his Father." Now, in so doing, verse 18, making himself equal with God. The Jewish understanding of the claim to be the Son of God is a claim to be equal with the Father. In other words, when the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God, and when Nathanael claims and confesses that he's the Son of God, he's saying this Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, he came from the Father and is equal to him. He's equal to him. He is God like the Father is God. Now listen to me now. This is what John the Baptist confessed in verse number 34 of this same chapter. That is, he said, "And I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God." That's what Peter confessed in chapter number 6 of this same book. The Bible says in chapter 6 of John's Gospel in verse number 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hey, that's what Martha confessed in chapter number 11 and verse number 27. She said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Did you know that's why John wrote this book? Chapter 20, verse 30. This same book, the Gospel of John. Here's what it says. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The believing you might have life through his name." The reason why John wrote this gospel is so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And did you know that Nathanael's confession is an important part of that? Nathanael, after seeing all the evidence, said, "This he is. Rabbi, you really are the Son of God, equal with the Father." And so we have his confession of the Son of God. We also have Nathanael's confession of the King of Israel. That's what he says here in the passage in verse 49, that thou art the King of Israel. And when he says that, that means this: Jesus is the promised King, the one revealed in the covenant with David. The covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Where God said to David, revealed to him, that he would have a descendant who would reign forever, and that is, who would have an eternal kingdom. And do you know that Jesus is the one who is that promised king? Why, Zephaniah prophesied about this coming king in Zephaniah 3:15. Why, Zechariah prophesied about this coming king in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Micah prophesied about this coming king in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. The wise men found this king in Matthew chapter number 2. They followed that star. They came to where Herod was at and said, "We've seen the star of the one who's born king of the Jews." Why, the people greeted this king in John chapter number 12 when he rode into Jerusalem crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna, the King of Israel, that is, the Lord has come," as they quoted from the Psalms. The Lord revealed that he's the promised king in John chapter number 18 when he stood before Pilate. In John 18 verses 33 through 37, Pilate just asked the question, "Are you the king?" That's what they claim, "You're the king of Israel. Are you the king?" And Jesus said, "For to this end was I born and came into the world." Revealed himself to be the King of the Jews. And Pilate even acknowledged that truth when he put that sign on the cross and said, "This is the King of the Jews." Remember that? What we're noticing here is the testimony of Nathanael. And he confessed openly
That is, he expressed his faith that Jesus really is the Son of God. He really is the King of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, he really is. Nathanael, the hesitant Israelite, saw the evidence and he believed. There's a final truth I want you to notice with me. We not only see in the testimony of Nathanael, the friend that he encountered, we not only see the find that he experienced and the faith that he expressed, but notice the future that Nathanael expected. Verse 50. We're back in John chapter number 1, verse number 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?" And he did. Now notice, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." And then verse 51, "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now that Nathanael has received Christ and believed on him, his life has been completely changed. We've seen this in testimony after testimony that we've looked at, and that is those who've received Christ have a brand new changed life. And now he's headed in a whole new direction with a new future ahead of him. And the Lord reveals to Nathanael the future that he can now expect because he has received Christ into his life. Notice with me that Nathanael can now expect a future with greater things. That's right. He said, "You believed? Just because I said what I did, just because I gave you a little glimpse of my omniscience, just because I revealed my omnipresence to you, you believe?" He said, "You're going to, listen, in the future, you're going to see even greater things than that." You see, well, what are these greater things that Nathanael will see? Well, in the very next chapter, Jesus is in Nathanael's hometown, Cana of Galilee. And it's there that Nathanael watched water being turned into wine. You see, he was there. Nathanael and the other disciples were with the Lord in Cana of Galilee when Jesus miraculously turned the water into wine. And at the end of that section of Scripture in chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and Lotus manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." In other words, Jesus began to do miracle after miracle. This was just the beginning in the hometown of Nathanael, so that he might reveal his glory. Nathanael and the other disciples saw all of the miracles, miracle after miracle. 7 of them are recorded in the book of John. 37 miracles recorded in the Gospels altogether. And according to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, there were many more miracles that are not even recorded that they saw. Miracle after miracle, Jesus displaying his glory. Well, if you think it's a big deal that Jesus knew Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree, you should have been there in John 11 when he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And a man dead 4 days came walking out of a tomb. Nathanael, you're going to see even greater things. You say, "Pastor, I sure would have liked to have seen that." You can see it right here in the Bible if you believe. If you believe. He's got a future with greater things. And finally, he's got a future with heaven open. Verse 51, let me look at it with you again. I want you to see it and then I'll have to close. We're out of time. He said unto him, "Verily, verily." When you see that little phrase, "verily, verily," at the beginning of a statement, it's used to draw attention to the importance of the truth that's about to be stated. It means amen, amen, or truly, truly, verily, verily. It means this is a real important statement. "I say unto you, hereafter, from now on, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Nathanael, the Lord wants him to know that from this point on in his life, as he follows Christ, he is going to see and experience what we call the divine presence. Heaven opened and the divine presence with him. This statement that Jesus made goes back to Jacob once again. And it goes back to that experience that Jacob had when he first encountered the Lord. Let me just remind you of it. I'd like to go back and look at it, but we just don't have time. You'll have to do that at another time. Genesis 28, verses 10 through 17. And remember, Jacob has really offended his brother Esau. He wants to kill him, and mom and dad agree. You got to get out of town, man. You got to go. You got to go to mama's family. Get out of town. You're going to die. Paraphrasing. And Jacob hits the trail. He's scared. He's alone. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He gets to a place, lays down his head on a pillow at night, and all of a sudden, as he's sleeping, God shows up in a vision. And he sees a ladder going up into heaven. And at the top of that ladder, the gates of heaven are open, and there are angels ascending and descending on that ladder. You know what God said to him? He said, Jacob, now I'm paraphrasing. He said, I'm with you. And he said, the covenant that I established with your father, I'm going to keep with you. And that is that your descendants are going to be like the sands of the sea and like the stars of the sky. And I'm going to keep my word and keep my covenant. I'm going to be with you. God gave Jacob a vision. Angels ascending and descending on a ladder. Going from heaven to earth. A vision accompanied by a promise of divine presence upon Jacob, for the purpose of fulfilling the covenant that he made with Abraham. Fast forward now. Here we are, Nathanael. An Israelite indeed, and whom is no Jacob. Remember that. Here we are, he says, you know what, Jacob? You know the angels that were ascending and descending? They're ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And you know what the Lord is saying to him? He's saying to Nathanael, you know who I am? I am that ladder that Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending on. In other words, he's saying, Nathanael, that the angels he will see ascending and descending upon him, upon himself, that is, upon the Son of Man. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm the link between heaven and earth. He's saying that I'm the one who possesses both deity and humanity. He's saying to him, I'm the mediator between God and man. He's saying to him that I'm the one through whom the blessings of heaven can come down and be experienced by humanity. He's saying that I'm the source of all spiritual blessings. He's saying I'm the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's saying, just like I'm the one who fulfilled the old covenant made with Abraham, I'm the one who's the mediator of the new covenant, established in his own blood. Here's what I'm trying to help us to understand, is that because of Christ, heaven is open to those who've received him. We have his presence now. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We have his presence now. We have access to heaven upon our last breath. Heaven is open. Some of you remember the little story about the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. I'm about to close, but I want to remind you of it. Remember, whenever the Lord was born, the shepherds were abiding in their fields, keeping their watch by night, as the Bible says, and all of a sudden, a light from heaven, the glory of God began to shine around them. And you know who came out? You know who came down from heaven? The angels did. The angels showed up. As a matter of fact, there was an angel who was a spokesman, and then all of a sudden, all around them was an angelic host who apparently descended from heaven that night and revealed to them that a ladder was born. That is a baby in Bethlehem wrapped in swaddling clothes. A Savior. The ladder between heaven and earth. And they saw the glory of God that night because Jesus was born. Reminds me of what John had just stated in chapter 1 and verse 14 when he said this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, Nathanael was about to see the glory of God. Heaven was about to be opened. The glory of God was about to be revealed in the person of Jesus.
John saw it. Nathaniel saw it. And every person who believes has seen and experienced the glory of God. You say, I'd like to have been there that night when old Jacob looked up and in his vision saw that ladder and saw the glory of God, angels ascending and descending. Listen to me now. If you've received Christ, then you have in reality what Jacob only had in a vision. Nathaniel, you're going to see great things, man. Heaven open, the glory of God demonstrated. It's going to be demonstrated in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What a testimony. Let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you met Jesus? If I ask you if you ever walked down an aisle, you might say yes. But I'd rather ask you whether or not you met Jesus when you walked that aisle. Because that's the real question. I could ask you if you prayed a sinner's prayer, but I'd rather ask you, did you meet Jesus when you prayed? Because that's the real question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you met Him, received Him, and experienced His glory, the glory of His redemption, salvation, and His forgiveness? What a testimony. If Nathaniel could come and just share his testimony with us tonight, I believe he'd tell us exactly what we've seen right here in John chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth, your people, for your word and your blessings, for the glory you've shown us in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'll work your work in our hearts tonight. If there's somebody here that's never truly been born of God, I pray, Father, that you would draw them to yourself like you did Nathaniel so long ago. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pass out our prayer.